The Around the NFL Podcast has an open tab at Huckapoo's.
Here we are in beautiful San Francisco, California, the site of Super Bowl 50. Well, Santa Clara, but here we are, the big day. This is Dan Hansis with the rest of the Around the NFL Podcast team. We have Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal, and I have a comment to make. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What is happening?
Whoa.
I love this.
Well, a little bit of controversy right off the bat.
Okay.
What?
We had declared over various forms of social media, texting, Slack, no jackets for this show.
Whoa.
Then Dan, in the final minute, appears in a jacket.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways. Sometimes with Sessler, things in his mind are not how the society views them at large. I think there was a conversation about wearing suits at the Super Bowl, which, and the agreement was, let's not wear suits
this
year.
No, I was talking about the podcast.
Now, the podcast, I was not aware that it was a no-jacket zone.
Well, our superior just weighed in, so.
Who's that?
Greg.
Well, we've been waiting. We've been seeing.
Greg's actually our boss?
Yeah.
We see, you know, Dan, he gets the Redken. He's now got an endorsement, his sponsor. He's the host. He's just been getting a little more. Now he's making his power move. This is the move.
He's the front man.
This is a big stage. We're literally on a stage right now, so why not try to look your best? Maybe you can learn from me guys.
And if you're
all
listening
right,
on audio, to describe it, I mean, we are right in the middle of Radio Row, surrounded by some of the big radio and
some of the
TV
great
talent
luminaries.
Of the country.
Jay Moore is here.
I saw Anthony Munoz walking by.
Tony Munoz. Boomer Esiason.
A lot of Bengals.
Jason Whitlock.
All of them.
Mike Florio. It's
some
Tuesday. It's pretty early in the week, so you know not a lot of the guys are coming, but it's heating up.
Yeah, so we got in on Sunday as a group, and it was a little different this year because Media Day, which used to be on Tuesday morning traditionally, was moved and turned into a gargantuan primetime event. A rechristened Super Bowl opening night, which was kind of a weird name. But we attended that on Monday night at the SAP Center, the same place where Greg, Jason Mraz played to a sold-out house in September of 2012.
One of the classic Mraz shows of all time. And I was amazed when we walked in and we saw the people that had played there, that Jason Mraz could fill up this place because it was huge. There's a lot of fans there. I'm always a little confused about the fans at Media Night, like what exactly they're doing. But we had a good time.
We did.
Night.
I don't know if the fans know when they go in. What are they expecting? And I love to do an exit interview with what they experienced. Was it up to snuff?
It's an odd event.
I mean, it is what
it is. At one point, I did take a video of just the audience, and I thought, oh, this might be good for my blog, View from the 50.
Nice plug.
And here's the vanity URL, nfl.com/viewfromthe50. But then I thought, oh, shadowy league figures might not like the idea of writing about, well, what kind of fan experience is media night or open night.
So instead, we'll talk about it on a sponsored podcast.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah,
we'll get
more into Super Bowl opening night on today's show. We're going to talk about some news. There is some news. And, Mark, even you couldn't get further away from the Cleveland Browns than Super Bowl week. And yet, we're going to talk about those Browns.
Yeah, it feels
big news at quarterback.
It feels like a suspicious side bet made by the NFL at my expense, but we'll wage on.
We'll also play one of our favorite games, What's More Likely? Some Super Bowl talk, because there is a game at the end of the week, guys. Panthers, Broncos. So we look forward to that, and we're all building towards that day. This also, by the way, Wes, is 1 year ago. Last time we did a show from Radio Row, where we are here at the Moscone Center this year, you did eat a hideous hot dog contraption with your own softball pants in them because of course, losing your Oakland Raiders bet. I think if you're watching...
No. This was the Browns again.
It was the Brian Hoyer, Johnny
Manziel proposition.
Wow, and if you're watching on YouTube, you could check out some memories right now of that special time for Wes. What did that hot dog taste like?
I only took one bite. Tasted like a hot dog. It tasted a little on the material side.
Here it is. Look, if you're watching on YouTube.
Couple of zippers, some composite parts in there.
There was composite parts. Look, you're dumping the old Zeuser is dumping it on there. Here's the handoff. And look at Wes, like a champion.
Oh, wow.
Check that out on YouTube. For a walk down memory lane.
It's a disturbing image.
Did you do any bathroom time, extra bathroom time that night? Not to get too specific.
No, it was just normal.
Okay, good.
One comment, we all look strikingly more handsome a year later. trending up better now in the looks department.
Okay.
Interesting.
I like that. So that's disagree? What's coming up on Thursday's, or what is today? I don't even know what the day.
Tuesday
edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Listen, it's a little weird when you're trying to do a show and there's a lot of people milling around and Rihanna's like blasting in the background at high decibel volumes.
None of those people is the old Zeuser. They just wish they were.
Well, I want to do every podcast with Rihanna blasting in the background. Pretty much I want to live my life that
way. Well, it's time to be professionals.
Yeah, so let's do it. Let's get to the news because there is a lot of news to talk about.
This offense ain't mega. You know it. And keep joining football.
Yes, Johnny Football. We cannot avoid Johnny Manziel, who we knew his future was in doubt. Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, had reported last month that the new Browns head coach, Hugh Jackson, had decided he did not want anything to do with Johnny Manziel, the former first-round pick. But now we have more clarity on the issue. Rappaport reported Tuesday the team will cut Manziel after the new league year begins on March 9th. Here's a statement from our friend. You know, we love him.
Ladies and gentlemen, for one night only, Sashi!
Sashi Brown, we've been clear about expectations for our players on and off the field. Johnny's continued involvement in incidents that run counter to those expectations undermines the hard work of his teammate and the reputation of our organization. So,
Sashi,
this is after another domestic incident, Mark, and they're moving on. We knew this was going to happen, but now we have a date when it's going to happen. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a strong statement, and there haven't been a lot of strong statements like this by the Browns over the last 10, 15, 20 years. I like it, because what it's saying is you cannot continue to capsize this organization with your off-field shenanigans. He's got to go get his life right, and he can go do that on his own, but not at the expense of one of the 32 teams in the NFL, and certainly not the Browns. It's not the way they wanted this to go, but I think they're getting out of it, saving some face. It's a new turn for Cleveland under Hugh Jackson.
Well, how strong can it be? He forced their hand. To me, strong would have been during the season. I think a lot of people, including their former head coach, Mike Pettine, would have wanted to cut him a lot sooner.
Yeah.
To me, they reached the point with Manziel, incident after incident. He let them down. He didn't show enough on the field either. I think if he played outstanding, they might be more understanding. But it's amazing to think, even since the last time he played, what's happened, the Vegas trip, and now this incident. It's hard. Like, we want to joke about it on some level, but it's a guy who, in the last year, has had a couple domestic incidents and has been in rehab. So it's clearly beyond just football.
I mean, he seems like he's sick. And, yeah, the Browns, they're making the right move here, but it's been made easy by Manziel, like Greg was saying. I guess my only question, Mark, about this is you do have one of your Browns DNA moves is that you fear players leaving the team and then becoming great somewhere else. But we don't even know, and Wes, you wrote a post about it today on Around the NFL, whether he'll even get a job.
It's a social media story as much as a football story, I think. If you compare Brett Favre in 1991, before the internet age, he's quoted as saying, "I tried to drink Atlanta dry." Jerry Glanville is quoted as saying, "I couldn't sober him up, so I had to send him basically to the NFL's outpost in Green Bay before the Packers were good." Favre in 91 is comparable in that sense to Johnny Manziel now, but it's such a social media story. Everything Johnny Manziel does is tabloid fodder now, and I think in a different era, the Browns wouldn't be cutting bait with him.
Hmm.
Is he on a NFL roster September 1st?
I think so, yes. I mean, September 1st is an interesting date to put because...
That's why I chose it.
Could he be suspended? I mean, that's possible. Could they wait? Like, we don't know how this offseason is going to go. I tend to think a team like the Cowboys, for instance, is going to give him a chance to make the team as a backup quarterback. This is a guy who still looked okay in his starts last year. He didn't look great, but he didn't look bad either.
Well, yeah, there are reports out there, too, that the interest has dried up because people simply can't trust this guy and that you're bringing in much more than just a developmental quarterback. You're bringing in all the extra attention, so it's going to take a team that really was willing to embrace all that.
All the people in Dallas who convinced Jerry Jones not to draft Johnny Manziel are still there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a no-brainer that he's just going to end up with the Cowboys.
I'm worried about the homeless guy in Cleveland, what Browns management might do to that guy.
Well, I think
what can you take away from a guy that already has nothing?
He has other issues to deal with probably ahead of this.
Right,
it is sad, though, to think about just a couple years ago, this clip was brought in a little hurtfully into our Slack channel. That's how we communicate. The YouTube.
Quit slacking. Sign up for Slack today.
Our YouTube channel of Dan Hansis, you can look it up.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Sessler. We have a video of you a couple years ago.
We're playing this now.
No. I'm just saying that of you getting almost teary-eyed and so excited. Like, I'm talking seriously as a fan. Like, from that moment 2 years ago to now.
Well, it's telling that I feel very little about the decision at this point, that he's worn a lot of fans that dry. There was another fan that Dan famously made famous on another post, the guy flipping out
in a
Cleveland bar. I think a lot of people felt that way.
Yeah.
He brought hope, but now it's the opposite.
Tony Grossi made a good point. He said that was the highlight of the Manziel era. That was the peak, really, was that hope that day.
All right, let's talk about another high-profile player, this guy that actually did something worthy on a football field in the NFL. His name is Calvin Johnson, and right when we landed in San Francisco on Sunday, the report came out from ESPN that Calvin Johnson was now telling the Lions that he was not planning to play in 2016, that it was retirement time, that he was serious about this. Ian Rappaport reports that Lions coaches and staff are looking to find a way to bring him back into the fold. It sounds like it's a desperation time for a Lions team that's about to lose another Hall of Famer close to his prime.
It's crazy that he called the Ford family, you know, who's paid him over these years, and thanked him for everything. And he said goodbye and told his coaches, he told some players, including Matthew Stafford, that he planned to retire. I still think all of this came in the week after the season, and that's different than actually retiring. To me, he has not retired yet. Him telling people that week is much different than him walking away from the money.
It's fascinating how the story has turned from the Lions will probably ask him to take a pay cut to now begging him to try to come back. So he's managed to change that narrative a little bit, but it was interesting. I talked to Nate Burleson in the hallway a couple weeks ago, and he
name
said,
dropper.
Well,
classic. Nate,
a good friend of Calvin Johnson, and
humble
he said,
brag.
Take this seriously because Calvin Johnson doesn't eat, sleep, and drink football like everyone else, and he doesn't want to play if he's not the most dominant wide receiver on the field. That's important to him.
And he really hasn't been, and it's injuries related and based, but he really hasn't been the same level of dominance since that incredible season. What was it, in 2011 or 12 when he set the catch record? I mean, he's still, what, a top 10 receiver? But if he needs to be the number one guy, I think people have passed him.
Yeah, I mean, when this first came out at near the end of the season, I didn't buy a word of it. I thought this is just a frustrated player and there's a lot to be sorted out. It's getting closer to the point where what Nate Burleson says carries a lot of weight, because if he doesn't really put football number one in his life, then you're at that age where why not leave and have a wonderful career to look back on?
And very few players in NFL history have made more money in their first, 10 or 11 years now than Calvin Johnson has. He caught the tail end of the top of that salary cap money when you were draft pick, and then his contract, he's been by far the highest paid player.
I just realized, guys, and this is important, that I gave a nice shout out to Slack. Redken got a nice pop. But really, when it comes down to it, Mark, do you like money?
Oh, sure I do.
Okay, here's a question. Wes, are you paying attention to this? Do you want more money?
Yes, I would.
Well, you better sign up with Scott. Good buddy of mine, Scott Trade.
Getting right on that.
I would just like some money.
Well, Calvin Johnson should be going to Scott Trade. He doesn't have to do anything the rest of his life. He just goes to Scott, and he takes care of it.
If you want to make large sums of money investing, Scott Trade. All right, let's move on. We think Calvin Johnson could be retiring, but one guy we know is retiring is Justin Tuck, the longtime Giants pass rusher, announced his retirement from the NFL on Monday. Here's his quote: "After months of praying and careful consideration, I have decided to retire from the game of football. I've had 11 great years, and honestly, I leave with very few regrets." And he shouldn't leave with any regrets. He won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants, was one of the linchpins of that defense that beat the Patriots twice. The New England Patriots, Greg, and had some nice years. Was all pro one year, went to the Raiders and made a ton of dough, and now he's gone. Wes, how will you remember Justin Tuck, the player?
Well, I remember the regret that he should have. Eli Manning's got both of his Super Bowl MVP trophies.
Ooh-wee.
Hubba hubba.
That's a good call. He definitely could have gotten one, and he's someone, I think, having lived in New York for pretty much his whole career in New York, he's a legend there. Like, some of those, he's not going to make the Hall of Fame
when he retires. But you guys know, guys that are kind of city guys, they're legends in their town. They'll always be known sort of as true members of that team. And to me, Justin Tuck is the Giants. Like, he almost more than anyone but maybe Eli Manning defines that era. Maybe even more than Michael Strahan, you think of Justin Tuck.
Well, I mean, that I'll never forget before that Giants-Patriots Super Bowl when Gil Brandt, GM, Cowboys, been around forever, came up. We asked him who's going to win this game, and he said it's the Giants, and it's not Eli Manning. It is the pass rush. And they put a hurt on Tom Brady in that second Super Bowl. I mean, they really were very good defensively.
I know we like to – I mean, he spent most of his career with the Giants, and that's where everything important happened in his career. But we've kind of ripped on Reggie McKenzie, at least I have over the years. And I think it's pretty neat that he brought in Charles Woodson and Justin Tuck to transition them from a really young, bad team to a team that's on the brink now, possibly making a playoff run. And I think Justin Tuck and Charles Woodson were important to them.
And Connor Orr, who's has a good relationship with Justin Tuck, laid it out that Justin Tuck's been working at a hedge fund for multiple years already. This is not... So,
why doesn't he work at Scott Trade?
Right, he should work at Scott Trade, but maybe eventually.
I love Scott Trade so much because you can make a lot of money investing with that business.
Why would you not work there if you had that skill set?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yes, all right. So, moving on, guys. Really good work, guys. I mean, we're going to get a call from Scott. He's like, guys, killed it again. Nice job. We should touch on this. This is a little bit dusty as a news item, but we've been out of the rotation for a few days. The Chargers have announced that they will stay in San Diego for at least the 2016 season. They're trying to work out this situation in the city. There's still, you know, a lot of arrows pointing to them ending up playing in Inglewood with the Rams in Los Angeles, perhaps as soon as next year. But they're going back to San Diego, creating obviously a strange situation for both the city and the players and the organization. But maybe if I'm a fan in San Diego, a Chargers fan, I look at it as good news because that means there's still a chance.
You're right. But it's such a strange situation. How are they going to react? They didn't show up to the games last year. Are they going to show up more now that they've already got one foot out the door? You would hope they can figure it out because they belong in San Diego. But they did not have much of a choice. What were they going to do for 2016? No one really. It's not like the stadium that the Rams are building is ready anytime soon. So you would have had to figure out a place for the Rams to play. Presumably it's the Coliseum, and a place for the Chargers to play. It would have been a mess. They didn't have much of a choice.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for this fan base a lot because you've got players challenging them to come to games next season, and that's fine if you're a player. But if you're a fan, you have to just feel stuck in limbo in the middle here.
We pointed this out before. This is a franchise that has been in San Diego for over 50 years, longer than the Browns were in Cleveland when they moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens. The NFL wants this team to stay in San Diego in a new stadium. Dean Spanos wants a new stadium in San Diego. They just have to work with the city to make it work.
Well, then build it. Like, that is right. An option. You're an NFL owner. It's a great
get it done.
Business. Build it or find someone that can.
Let me give a kind of a little peppier version because you do get your team and there is hope. San Diego Superchargers. San Diego Superchargers.
That should keep them going for at least another season.
I wish we had a TD ISO cam. Our longtime producer, of course, TD, is helping us out. He's near the set.
TD on the ones and
twos
on the set.
The look of horror on his face when Dan started singing that song. What is that guy doing?
He's like, either way, we don't need to do that. So
there he is.
Yeah. Look at him.
Thanks, TD.
Handsome man. All right, that's what's happening in the news today. One thing I'll also miss about Justin Tuck, by the way, one of the more middling Subway sponsorships of all time featured a late period Justin
Tuck. Aren't they
all? Middling's good in that situation.
Past the prime RG3. I think there was like a Raul Alegre was maybe in the
Well, you're
campaign.
You're bearing the lead, but yes, those were all problematic sponsors.
Why am I bearing the lead?
There's another sponsor we don't want to talk about right now. It was a disaster, so.
Okay.
All right, that's it. So now let's get into Super Bowl opening night, which took place at, like I said, Jason Mraz, the place that basically it's his home away from home.
Shark Country.
The SAP Center, or maybe the SAP Center. Don't know what the denizens of San Jose refer to their arena as, but it's a nice facility. And it was the home of, remember, somehow Super Bowl opening night made all past media days, and this is the fifth one that we've covered, and Mark and I have covered. This is the fifth one now, and this everything else looks humble in retrospect.
Oh, yeah, this took it to a whole new level. I mean, it started off by having to drive around 120 minutes to get to it, but it was worth the wait. I was the best organized of them all, in my opinion, and it was the least chaotic. That's my take, and that's what I'm looking for. Less chaos, better organization.
Don't besmirch that bus ride. I got a whole 15, 20-minute conversation with Dan about the O.J. Simpson miniseries.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. I asked my wife, Emily, to DVR it. I'm gonna rip through that when I get home. Before we really start talking about the events of Media Night and what happened today, Tuesday, though, it's time to bring on, we call her a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Some people call her Connie Fox. We call her somebody that we could trust, a real hero herself. And she's making her way
Hello!
Towards us right now. Oh, my goodness. There she is.
Wow.
Welcome.
Colleen Wolf sits with us. And this will be the, as you sit down in the white chair next to Mark Sessler, I wish we had an awkward ISO cam.
Wait, listen.
What an entrance.
So I missed the entire podcast so far because I was just talking to two listeners, and they were so excited that you guys are here, and they love you guys, and it's Robert and Andrew, and they wanted
Robert
to say
and
hi.
Andrew.
Robert
they also
and Andrew.
Wanted
Bobby.
To say, wanted to tell the old Zeuser that the Wolfpack is coming for his job. I don't know. I'm just saying that happened.
Yeah, so Colleen's, you know, this may be her final time on the show, depending on how truly threatened I am by her abilities as a host.
Wow.
But so we got fans here. Who was the gentleman at the restaurant on Sunday night?
Oh, yeah, the sommelier at Slanted Door.
Yeah, what a good
a
man
fan.
He was.
This has been the best week of Dan's life because he measures weeks of his life based on how many people have come up and recognized him independently. So for the first 30, 33 years, they were all bad weeks. Lately, they're
That's
picking
weird.
Up. There's four or five
Wait,
people
so
that, are just coming up to you.
That tops him being recognized by his newborn son.
Well, did you just get
sure
a text message or something?
I was checking the name.
Are we boring you?
No, Joe. Joe the wine guy.
There? Joe the
at
wine guy.
At the Slanted Door. We talked to him. We've talked to some other listeners.
I don't remember that part of the night.
So, yeah. Colleen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how about this?
You and you're the queen of the social media command center here at Super Bowl week.
Oh, I am. It's been crazy. A lot of stuff going on. And we're like right in Super Bowl City. So there's been concerts and mariachi bands. And there was like a step show of some sort, I think, earlier.
And that's separate from where we are right now. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Colleen, here's the awkward ISO cam if you're watching on YouTube.
Oh, awesome. It's so great to be here.
It never gets less awkward.
There we are.
So let's talk about it, if you don't mind, Colleen, and you're going to sit in with us the rest of the show.
Yes.
Maybe join us for a little What's More Likely.
Ooh.
So maybe think one up in your mind.
Okay.
Right now.
All right. Okay. I can do that.
But let's start with Peyton Manning, because that's the story this week. That is the big story. Last year was Deflategate and Will Marshawn Lynch talk, and is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback ever if he wins, blah, 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 blah. This year it's kind of a singular storyline. The end of the road for Peyton, most likely. Rap Sheet reported this week that he's been telling close friends he expects to retire. And Colleen, we'll start with you on this. The fact that he's letting it draw out is probably the smart move, because if he said, like, on Sunday, I'm retiring, this game, we wouldn't even be thinking about the game. That would be all anybody would be talking about.
Yeah, so actually, like, thank you, Peyton, for drawing this out. So we,
oh,
don't have to do that. I know. And I like that. He was like, I guess it's all stemming from his comments about how this might be his last rodeo to Bill Belichick after the game. But last night at Media Night, when he was like, no, I meant that I might join the rodeo. You got it all wrong. You totally missed this point there. I'm serious.
Well, he's a hilarious gentleman.
Yeah, you know, he is. But, I mean, this is, if I think he is, obviously, I think he's going to retire, don't you guys?
Well, hold on. I mean, if they win this game, he is insane to come back. This is what every athlete in the NFL would dream. The dream way to go out would be a guy that's been doubted heavily. This kind of a season. I mean, the football.
Especially
life,
by you, Mark.
It'd be one of the best. It'd be one of the best endings ever written in football history. It even topped John Elway just because of the way this season has played out for Peyton Manning. And we were at the bar last night, and Ian was there.
Shocker.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Media Insider, and other reporters. And they're
Humble
like,
brag.
Wow, this is such a quiet week. You know, there's really no stories. And I'm like,
literally one of the best players of all time, who was benched just three weeks ago, could go out with a Super Bowl title. Like, it doesn't really get much bigger or better. And oh, by the way, if they win, he's retiring that night. I mean, there's no way he's not going to retire that night.
He might never go home. Like, he's going to announce his retirement after a 21-17 victory where he throws a touchdown late. And we will be writing posts for four straight days from that stadium.
Podcast will start at 3 a.m. TD. So
you don't think he's in a little bit of a denial and holding out hope that he finds the fountain of youth? He referenced that exact quote. What if, you know, Belichick's going to coach till he's 90, Brady's going to play till he's 70, and what if I find the fountain of youth and play 10 more years? I'm sure it was just a quip, but in the back of an athlete's mind, if his body feels better, maybe he doesn't want to retire.
I feel like he already found that fountain, though. Like, I mean,
he found the fountain of game manager.
He's been, he's been okay in the playoffs, and that's a big step up.
The last year, the year before that, I mean, how old is he now? He has stretched this out longer than we could have ever imagined. He had one of the greatest offenses ever a couple years ago, and they made the Super Bowl. You only score 8 points with them. The question I've been talking about, if they lose, will he retire that night? Because I don't think there's any question that he's retiring. I really don't. I just am really concerned for me and for us whether we're going to have to write it that night. And there's a Panthers fan, David Ealy, in our office that's worried the Panthers will win, but then Manning will outshine them by retiring after a loss, which is a stupid thing to worry about.
That is the most Panthers narrative ever, that they believe they've been overshadowed after winning the Super Bowl by a player retiring.
Well, what's the best scenario for us?
Well, the best scenario is
and Manning says nothing.
50-10, it's like 30-0 at halftime when we're all already in the locker room writing, you know, getting quotes.
One of the I spoke with Brock Osweiler, and Mark, you have, from what I understand, an all-time feature coming up.
Well,
you know, every once in a while, somebody writes
a
feature that gets passed around the internet, and it's like, this is just tremendous work. That's coming from you on Brock Osweiler later this week, correct?
Yeah, largely culled from pool reports, so it's not going to be cutting-edge information, but you're going to want to read it.
Well, I spoke to Brock briefly at media night, and he...
I'm a brag.
I mean, it's literally my job there. And, you know, this is what he's dealing with. He's in the Alex Smith situation of a couple of years ago. When Colin Kaepernick stole his job and went to the Super Bowl. And he, I mean, he, first of all, handsome devil. I mean, we're talking top five hots of the NFL right now.
Wow.
More
really?
Importantly...
He's so tall.
Or less importantly, a little too tall, maybe. Let's
too
talk
much.
About that.
Yeah, too
no,
much height.
This is what he's dealing with. He's answering all the questions all the right way, but he's also getting guys coming up to him, and this is a real question he got. A reporter goes, so, you know, Peyton and the Nationwide commercials, would you mind doing like a Nationwide song singing about Peyton? And the guy, and Brock was like, I just want to talk about football.
He used that, like I was huddled around him trying to get
he's
everything
over.
I could. Well, I think one thing when you're sitting in a quarterback room with Peyton Manning for 3+ years, he is one of the more media savvy players we run into all week. Maybe a little too media savvy. I mean, he's very polished, and he couldn't be happier about just being here. I mean, he doesn't seem, if he's hiding it, he's a great actor. I really don't think he is. He doesn't seem bitter at all about the fate and what he went through this season.
Well, I mean, think about it. When he was benched, did anybody think that with the way that he was playing, and I mean, what, he had 4 turnovers, 4 interceptions in that game that he was benched?
That
did anybody
could have been
think
the last time he ever took
we would
the field.
Be here this week with Peyton literally behind Dan Hansis right now? Right
That's
over
true.
Your
he
shoulder.
Is, he is looking
He's
at
not
you
literally behind
right
him.
No one even believed
I wish he was.
No one even believed a week and a half ago that he would be here. No one on this set even picked them to beat the Patriots. Right. I mean, this all...
I picked them to almost beat the Patriots.
This only happened because C.J. Anderson fumbled against the Chargers. The whole thing is bizarre that Brock Osweiler got benched during what was a fine game for Brock Osweiler.
It sounds a little bitter, a little throne of sleaze, throne of agony, throne of apocalypse even. The way you even described that. That's the way football works. Did you ever hear the tuck rule? Sometimes stuff happens in the NFL. Greg, your thoughts?
I'm okay with the tuck rule.
All right, let's talk about other news from Media Night. And, Greg, you wrote a piece. We are in I don't know if this happens a lot, but it seems especially on the grid this year. We got two teams battling, both pulling the nobody respects us card.
Oh, yeah.
When
I
two
love
teams
this.
Both claim no respect, is there any respect given? Either way, like, what does it all mean, Greg?
And they both are talking that they are the underdogs no one believed in. Chris Harris said it, we deserve more respect. Brandon Marshall said no one's paying attention to them. This is the number one seed of each conference. Literally the best team in each conference all season long. And I think the Panthers especially are confused with what to do now, because they realize in their heart of hearts they're 17-1. Everyone expects them to win the game. I was next to Luke Kuechly when they asked him the question about it, and they said, well, what do you do now? You've been saying you're the underdog all year, but now you're the favorite. And he honestly just got a blank look on his face, and he just said something to the effect of, well, it's a football game. We have to try the hardest we could. It was like it totally scrambled his brain.
Inside information.
Side note, Dan Hansis just had to stop himself from dancing to Call Me Maybe. I saw that.
I am a big-time Carly Rae Jepsen fan.
Her latest album.
Carly Rae too. Something.
Really? Yeah.
People love the new album.
Her latest album,
Talk about
Emotion,
no respect. She should be getting a little more
tremendous.
Respect.
Tremendous. Everybody should check it out.
Grab the reins.
Yeah, so that's going on. No respect. By the way, if you're 17-1,
you cannot pull that card.
Carly Rae Jepsen doesn't get the respect she deserves because she's a Canadian pop star, and for some reason she's being viewed as a one-hit wonder, even though she's got plenty of hits. Canada, chime in on this. Well, let's get the train back on the tracks.
Wow,
Christ.
Sorry.
What's going on?
I didn't
on?
Realize it would derail that quickly.
Wes, I've never seen Wes look more confused.
Wes is upset, by the way, because four people try to help him. We got three jackets given to us. Super Bowl 50 jackets by Rog. And he's like, oh, where can I get these jackets? So everyone's like, oh, let's try to help Wes. But because
Not
Wes couldn't find
him,
and he then came back in a huffy mood because the directions weren't good enough. It's like, how does that work?
Well, wait, hold on. There's some spin cycle here because he was trying to help three people by getting jackets for multiple team members.
No spin here, buddy.
That's not how it went down, Dan. Our text chain rings off the hook all day long. And it goes ghost ship quiet for like an 8-hour period after I ask for directions on where to go. And then I get two different directions, none of which are true. So I have to stumble around the hotel room all afternoon. And then Greg puts me on blast. So it was a bad afternoon.
It's a sore subject.
It's one of those things. Wes, a fascinating guy, jovial guy usually, always in good spirits, a great bar guy to hang out with.
A great bar guy.
A great person. But certain things get him angry, like when we're in the podcast studio and the wire from the headphones crosses over his shoulder, he turns into the Incredible Hulk. And the jacket thing was another thing today.
I'm over the jacket thing.
We're at the point in the show where like 15% of it is airing grievances against each other.
It's like Festivus.
That's what this podcast is about. Let's get back to football. Thomas Davis. This doesn't sound right. This doesn't pass the sniff test for the old Zeuser. Broke his forearm in the NFC Championship game. Literally broke his arm, had surgery the next day. Now he's back at practice like 9 days later, 8 days later.
Science is amazing.
I am not a doctor. I would like to be a doctor. I am not a doctor, but he's probably going to break his arm again. Yes or no, Greg?
No. Oh. He said he's feeling no pain. The thing which was strange standing next to him, he has no major cast on it or anything. So maybe it really was just a bone in his arm.
I mean, he had surgery.
He's got screws in there, too.
I heard him say... At opening night, I have free-flowing use of my hand and wrist. It's not a big deal.
We'll find out.
I hope he's right.
He can tackle.
How important is he to their defensive scheme in Carolina?
Well, I think over the last 3 years, he's been just a notch below Luke Kuechly, who gets all the defensive player of the year pub. But Thomas Davis has been Pro Bowl caliber for three straight years.
Well, and he was early this year. I don't think he was having a great season. He was the best defensive player on the field in the NFC Championship until he had this injury. He was
even after the injury.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I think he left the game, but in a game where they dominated, Thomas Davis was the biggest difference maker on the team.
Well, the range of Kuechly and Davis is what makes that defense special. No other duo of linebackers has that range and closing speed.
And in other Carolina Panthers news, let's talk about Cam Newton. This is Cam Newton's big week. It might be Peyton Manning might be the big storyline here, but Cam Newton's the biggest star. Greg, you've been tracking the Cam Newton beat pretty close. Also, some high-octane Ron Rivera content. I heard you were monopolizing the Panthers coach at media night.
Multiple people saying that you were sort of hogging the Rivera mic
in a rude way.
It's literally 60 minutes, and there's hundreds of people there. So if you can get in five or six questions, credit to me.
Greg is this year's Al Leiter.
It was at the very end.
For those that don't know, Al Leiter, single-handedly, like we're talking about when Wes can get surly, Al Leiter at the New York Super Bowl nearly drove Wes. I'd say drove him to drink, but no, he didn't need Al Leiter for that. But it was Al Leiter elbowing his way past you, the former left-handed pitcher. in baseball.
Yeah, you know, it just felt like he was the biggest show in town, so he had to get the interview with everyone waiting 20 minutes. Didn't matter to him. Mm.
To me, Cam Newton this week, you want to talk about good-looking quarterbacks, he's got to be in the top five. In person,
absolutely.
I think even more striking. But he seems
so... This is like his wedding, too, by the way. Like, I feel like he is so happy in the spotlight, and he knows, like, he's so confident, and he is so good-looking, and he shows up, and he knows everybody's looking at him, and he's walking down the aisle, essentially.
You say it's like his wedding. I see it as his coronation. Like, if this goes to a situation where they handle the Broncos easily and he plays out of his mind like he's been doing all year, I think he'll be, without a doubt, seen as the biggest star in football. I think this
maybe the
this
biggest
game
star in sports. Like he
maybe.
Or at least getting to that point that some of the NBA guys have. But the thing I liked watching him talk is that when people serve him a softball question, he doesn't necessarily take it and just give the cliched answer that every player says. And that's what we say we want. They asked him some question about, isn't it great how Ron Rivera lets the personalities shine? That's been a big narrative this week. He lets his players be who they are. And Cam Newton said, I don't know if that helps us. I don't think that really matters. The only thing that matters is the 4 to 6 seconds when the play is happening. Those are the 4 to 6 seconds. And you guys want to talk about everything that happens after those 4 to 6 seconds, whether, and you can think with Cam Newton, he has the experience, the towel on the head or his clothes or his dancing or whatever. And he was making the point, what we do in those 4 seconds and our 11 players playing together, that's why we're here. It has nothing to do with our locker room and who has more personality, because the Patriots are a great team. They have no personality. About the football.
I mean, did you scamper back over to Rivera for a couple follow-up questions based on what Newton had said?
He wasn't slamming Rivera. He was just making a point about the media.
You just had this unlimited access to NFL head coaches.
By calling it scamper has a very negative connotation.
He's an
interesting
guy. Well,
that's what the theme of the show is today, apparently.
That was a fascinating answer from him on the 4 to 6 seconds and everything else is flop. He's an interesting guy, and I think it's a shame. I've been so disappointed the last couple of weeks that the sports writers and television in this country have let the lowest faction drive the conversation when they could be talking about stuff like this.
Hmm.
I like that.
Huh.
Wes sometimes just drops a hammer, and we just need a couple seconds to...
We're just marinating in that for a minute.
Let the bomb blast
settle. I think you can find him an interesting person, a good football player, be slightly annoyed at his first down dance, and you can reconcile all those opinions into one and a nuanced look on Cam Newton.
Is there anyone specifically that you are launching this attack against?
Yes. Names.
A lot of very specific people, but I'm not going to call them out.
And I won't name names either, Wes, but when we were sitting on the media bus going to Super Bowl opening night, there were some like longtime sneaky Wes adversaries also on the bus. And I had hoped potentially Wes was going to air out some dirty laundry. It didn't happen.
I don't really have any adversaries other than Al Leiter.
It's kind of in my mind. It's mostly in my mind. There are a couple guys.
It's in your fantasies. You'd love the idea of Wes getting in a fight on
absolutely.
A bus with multiple journalists.
Wait, doesn't that sound like the coolest thing ever?
It'd be cool.
Way up, you would lock yourself in at easily number two on the common men rankings. With a fist
fight win. I would take
Wes,
too, basically in any fight.
Yeah, that's true.
Wes is thickly built. He could drop a hammer with his fist if he needed to.
Yeah, he played with cinder blocks as a kid.
That's right.
Is that true?
Something I say.
All right. So that's what's going on with – you have anything else you want to say, Greg?
I think Wes said it all. He did it all.
You guys ready for this? Two things. This Brock Osweiler feature, Mark.
Highest of the high octane.
Again, haven't written it yet. Can't guarantee anything.
Greg, you're Ron Rivera think piece.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make Ron shine.
I got my Coldplay think piece coming up.
You've got your View from the 50 blog.
By the way, we have this, too.
Party night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey now.
Real They're quick, real. Let's talk about this.
Colleen brought
Colleen.
Props.
Do you want to?
Yeah. We were talking about Colleen.
That bag's open.
That would have been so
unfortunate.
For
our listeners, Colleen has brought the Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier.
Colleen, in a way, too, because Super Bowl week is really a battle because you're not only working a lot, you're playing a lot, if you will. Colleen likes to work hard, play hard.
That's
Connie Fox's life credo.
Hydrate
so
hard.
So I need Liquid IV.
So you said, I think this came up maybe on a prior show, that you were going to bring a bag of Liquid IV. This company, which, you know, it sounded dubious to me. And I was like, well, is it FDA approved?
This was like at the airport. We were all sitting there waiting flight.
He was really raining on your parade.
Reading it aloud, and he's mocking the picture of the guys who I guess founded it.
Well, it's two bros from Santa Monica. but my concern is because I do care about you, Connie Fox. Is this FDA approved? And I'll hold it up here for the YouTube. All my papers fall. The YouTube audience. This is a company, Liquid IV Bros, based out of Santa Monica. And
it looks official.
So I went looking for an FDA label because I want you to be safe.
Right.
And we got the ORS has cleared it, which is the oral rehydration solution. Oh, that's what this is called.
Wait.
It meets World Health Organization standards.
Yes.
That's not a real thing,
Who?
Colleen.
Yes, it is.
And I'm holding this bag, and half of it is gone.
I know.
And it's only Tuesday.
Does it work?
I want to believe. I don't know if it works or not.
Is
but
it a placebo?
I'm buying
right.
in
Right. It's essentially like a cough drop or
it's
something.
It's like...
Maybe
it's
you should cut back on your drinking.
Pedialyte? I've tried Pedialyte before. Listen, I'm chronically dehydrated. It's for athletes. I'm athletic.
Chronically dehydrated.
You're athletic.
All right, let's get in.
That works.
Let's talk a little What's More Likely, guys. I'm falling apart over here. What's More Likely, a game where
we... should use that.
Yeah, take this back, okay?
All right.
Good catch.
I don't want anything on my conscience. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Okay. So What's More Likely where we throw out... Do we have our... Or What's More Likely theme?
What's More Likely?
There it is.
How beautiful is that? We will throw out two options. Let's go around the horn here. But we will, Colleen, we'll get to you. Even though you're first in order, just hang tight, okay?
Okay.
Have you thought of one yet?
I'm still thinking a little bit.
Okay.
But I think I got one.
We'll start with the Sizzler, the Quiet Storm. Throw out a What's More Likely, bud.
All right, what is more likely? A... Brock Osweiler plays meaningful snaps in Sunday's Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Or around the NFL editor Greg Rosenthal retires from NFL media to kick off and start up his passion project, a women's tennis blog called Courts of Thunder.
That sounds like an awesome movie, Courts of Thunder. I would like that.
I think it's more likely that Greg quits his job to start his tennis blog. He doesn't know this, but we know he has another Twitter account, and it's all tennis. And one day, the three of us all followed him at the same time.
I did notice that, and then I deleted that account like a year ago.
Oh, we thought you blocked us.
Oh,
we were wondering. No, because
really
I hadn't used it in a while,
anyways.
I do too. I want tennis analysis from Greg.
That was going to be my source for tennis knowledge.
Well, it was really just a follow to have a separate feed. But you're right; I had tweeted some out, but I hadn't in like a year. So
do you need any reporters
gone.
Or anything?
I would love it if I could make money traveling the world and covering tennis. I would love to take on that challenge. That's football has been very good to all of us that the NFL is here in this place. They don't have this for, the Stanford Open.
What's the Stanford Open?
Well,
that's probably a real event, isn't it?
It is a real event.
You're sick.
Bank of America.
The answer to the question, by the way, this is simple. I mean, as much as it would be fun to imagine Greg living that life, Peyton Manning's like 700 years old and one of the best pass rushers in football could easily separate his body right in half and then the backup quarterback comes in. That's more likely, in my opinion.
All right, well, good discussion.
What if he plays bad? Like, what if he starts melting down early in the game?
I think
that would be interesting.
I think there is
any possibility at all.
It's a Super Bowl. You would have to if you thought.
Right?
Yeah.
There has to be a scenario, but it's such an ugly one to think about because they would have to be down two or three scores by that point. And then could Kubiak even start thinking, do I really want to bench Peyton Manning in his last game? It's hard to imagine happening except for injury.
It will be the toughest situation in Kubiak's career. All right, Wes, you're up.
What's more likely? Peyton Manning, known for the last 18 days of his life as the sheriff, apparently. Nickname came out of nowhere.
Great nickname, though.
Gruden.
He walks off into the sunset with a Super Bowl MVP and retires, or the Broncos have another embarrassing showing in the Super Bowl, get blown out just like they were in Super Bowl 48.
Mm. Oh, wow. Both are, like, really...
Here's the thing.
That's hard.
It's a good one. Because Peyton Manning doesn't have to do a lot to win the MVP. The biggest thing is
the Manning family has shown that in Super Bowls.
Wow.
Wow, you seem
Touché.
A little better.
An endless narrative.
Better? Totally better.
Those are Justin Tuck's trophies.
Oh, God. Nice Subway campaign, Justin. But really, that's a weird heat to be thrown at somebody. But... Peyton Manning, if the Broncos win and he puts up any statistics at all, like literally maybe throws one touchdown and doesn't melt down with turnovers, he'll be the MVP. Because that's how they want, that's how the story will want to play out. So I think that's more likely, in my opinion, because I do, I'm starting to think that Son of Bum is going to dial something up to keep this game competitive.
I think like we, it's easy to forget that the last two games that Carolina played, they roared out to massive starts.
Mm-hmm. At home.
Demolishing teams.
Against two of the best teams in the NFL.
That's fair. And so that there is a scenario where the Broncos get wrecked, but, and again, I am prone to fall for this, but just talking to their players and coaches the last couple
days, happening.
I do not think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's a different type of team. The defense is the number one reason why I don't think it'll be a blowout. So I'll go Peyton Manning, MVP.
The enchantment has begun.
No, Wes already is on me for this, but he's right.
Can you repeat the second scenario again?
The Broncos get blown out. The Broncos get blown out just as they did in Super Bowl 48.
Okay.
Panthers are out up, you know, 31-3 at halftime.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the first one. I don't know. Mm. I mean, I kind of want a different story because I've been almost preparing myself to read this narrative over and over again about Peyton Manning riding off into the sunset, Broncos and everything, whatever. But I think it's going to happen.
I think Broncos embarrassment's much more likely. The Panthers are one of the best teams we've seen. The Broncos are a good team. I don't think it'll be a blowout necessarily, but I think that's more likely to happen. And if the Broncos do somehow win, I don't think it'll be because of Peyton Manning, and maybe I'll have some faith in our writers to pick the right player for once. Go
saucy.
With it. Von Miller.
A little saucy shot at the end there with your colleagues. Colleen, you're up.
Okay. Demaryius Thomas has more touchdowns than drops or...
Whoa.
Or... Luke Kuechly scores more points, scores more than Peyton Manning throws for. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I'll go with Demaryius Thomas. I don't think he struggled with drops before this year. It's a mental thing. He's too good of a player to keep doing this. And Luke Kuechly, it's already bizarre that he has two straight games with a touchdown.
Right?
This is a bizarre what's more likely. There's a lot going on here.
I think you've been drinking too much of that powdered water.
I've been thinking about this for a little while.
Wait, Demaryius Thomas has more TDs than drops, or Kuechly throws more TD than Manning throws.
Scores more.
So like, Kuechly has to score more than Manning.
Yeah.
Which is would be another game with no touchdowns by Manning. Basically.
Right. So if Manning doesn't throw a touchdown
and Kuechly has another pick six,
then that's that scenario.
Kuechly, I'm going to go with the first one. Demaryius has more TDs than drops.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a blowout. Yeah. It's a blowout. That's somewhat likely to happen, that he could get a touchdown and no drops. Kuechly scoring more than Manning would be a total embarrassment. Like the last. I mean, the odds on that happening are slim, Colleen.
Very
you really
slim.
Are hateful towards Peyton Manning right now.
I'm not. I'm just being realistic, Greg.
Did everyone offer their opinion
on this? I did
not,
but I will go Demaryius Thomas. I like the both scenarios. That was intriguing and baffling.
All right, I'll throw one out there. What is more likely? Cam Newton throws three interceptions or Peyton Manning throws three touchdowns?
Ooh, I like Cam Newton throwing three interceptions.
Whoa, which he hasn't done all year.
I know, but those cornerbacks are so good. I know Chris Harris, he's been struggling a little bit, so hopefully just the time will have healed him, whatever is going on with him, and like hopefully it's not something serious. But you look, I mean, those corners, they have Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, they're all really good, solid guys. I could see it happening.
If any team was going to be, it'd be the Broncos. So I would go with Cam Newton, three interceptions too. I mean, he's much more accurate, but he'll have a loose throw or two. He had one in the NFC Championship. It's not been a problem this year. It would have to be a crazy scenario where Von Miller hits his arm while he's throwing, but I could see that. That's more like
it's also a slim chance of this happening.
Very
I'm going to shock you guys by saying Peyton Manning, three touchdowns, because the Panthers are going to jump out to such a big lead. Peyton Manning's going to be padding his stats in garbage time.
Wow.
Woo.
Heat.
A lot of disrespect.
Who's Wes going to pick on Thursday's show?
I don't know. I think he's still deciding. I'm going to go Manning three touchdowns because, I, you know, throwing three picks for Cam Newton, this is the MVP, and he's playing at the highest level right now. I don't see him having three turnovers.
That would be a total choke job, and it's just hard to imagine Cam Newton having a choke job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Just tough to do it. Finally, Greg.
All right. Because I didn't want to get into who's picking the games or whatever. Who is the more likely player to be the GOAT on Sunday night? Panthers cornerback Robert McClain or Panthers tackle Michael Orr?
Wow.
The Panthers, the favorite team. In this scenario, they lose. One of the teams, one of those guys is the GOAT.
TD's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, it's a little esoteric.
I'll go McClain because, I mean, people don't even mostly know what a tackle did until afterwards. Your average fans aren't even watching tackles.
People need to quit picking on Michael Orr. He's not that bad of a player. Pro Football Focus has it out for him. They convinced everyone else that Michael Orr stinks. He's had a good season. He's integral to their success. Leave him alone, Greg.
I think my thought is one of these two guys, it wouldn't shock me if they were. Robert McClain, I think, has been the worst player and the most harmful player to his team on either of these two teams. He has gotten toasted the last 2 weeks, and teams are picking on him, and I think it's something to watch.
And look, Peyton Manning, he's going to go after whatever receiver is not against Josh Norman. So, I mean, if you have Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas on the other side, they're going to have Robert McClain there. So that's what's – I mean, I could see that happening. Mm.
Good what's more likelys, guys.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Zeuser.
Thanks,
so
Dan.
That is – yeah, that is Tuesdays Around the NFL podcast sponsored by our good friend Scott. Scott Trade, Colleen, I mean, you've done it again. You've said it all.
I have.
And I should mention again, we are planning, and I still reserve the right to cancel it at any moment, a tweet up on Friday night here in San Francisco for any Around the NFL listeners that want to meet with the heroes, Colleen included, maybe TD will join us. TD kind of is a little slippery during these league events. It's hard to track him down.
Yeah.
You'll just see him walking down a dark like street with his Beats on and his long pea coats. Like, I think he's convinced he's on like the set of The Wire sometimes. But hopefully,
do we know where this meetup is?
We haven't figured out where the meetup is.
Well, what the heck?
That's fluid.
Hit us up at ATN hashtag ATN meetup if you want to join us. We want to get an idea of how many people
have been
might
people
do
have been
this.
Coming at us.
Where do we
will,
think
that
we
will
are
determine
numbers
where
wise
we go.
Right now?
It will be in downtown San Francisco or, you know, in the general area. I mean, it's not going to be.
I've estimated
in San Jose.
Roughly 50 people so far.
Well, that would be worth doing. I mean, I would veto you canceling it if we had 50 people.
I feel like we're probably going to do it on our own anyway.
I will sabotage it and then declare vengeance on all of you.
We'll be out if y'all want to join us.
Right.
That's on you.
All right. So that's it. We will be back Thursday with another show here from Radio Row. But until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Connie Fox, Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and Tate Day behind the bar. Till Thursday!
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here, Wish Move the Sticks. Bucky, tell everybody what they can expect on this latest Move the Sticks episode.
Well, obviously, we're going to talk about Super Bowl 50, preview it from each side, but we also get a chance to get into the Senior Bowl, some of the top prospects, who stood out to you and to me while we were down in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, you can check out the podcast on iTunes, NFL.com/podcast, as well as on YouTube.